How should I do so? Please visit OrionInspections.com. That's Orion, like the constellation, Inspections.
It's time for the Dane by Local radio show. Let's get local. Each week, we are your connection to local as we talk with leaders of area businesses, nonprofits, and government. There are so many amazing people and organizations in our community, so let's get into it. Let's get local.
Hey, welcome in, everybody, here to another edition of Let's Get Local on a Saturday. Very warm Saturday, let's call it. Unseasonable, but looks like the season is up and down and all around here, as spring can sometimes be in our part of the woods, so we'll take it as it comes, just like we do with everything. We have a great show for you today, really important show, and so I really want to thank our sponsor, Evolution Financial. Supac of Evolution Financial sponsoring this program. Again, there are room for others to join in and help support the stories of local businesses and organizations and the importance they bring to our community. But we really thank Sue. EvolutionFinPlan.com is where you can find out a bunch more about her and her wonderful business. And then, of course, Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, 1580 AM. We thank Crudy, the team here, for giving us the platform to get those stories out into the community. So let's talk. I know our show normally, you know, we have a lot of positive things to talk about. We have positive things to talk about today. We have a lot of great stories and wonderful stories, and it's very lighthearted most of the time. Today we're going to dig into some more challenging and maybe slightly uncomfortable areas that we need to help grow and learn, all of us. So we start off today's show with, I'm really happy to be joined by Denise Jess, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. A really important member of our community. Denise, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm so glad to have you on the show. I'm really glad to have you involved in other things happening with Dane by Local 2 to help spread the word about the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired and the work you do. Please tell people what the organization is all about and kind of how long it's been around here in our community.
Sure. The Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired turns 70 years old this year. We're a statewide nonprofit, though our offices have always been based on the Isthmus since our inception in 1952. Our mission is to promote the dignity and empowerment of people in Wisconsin living with significant vision loss. And we do that in three primary ways. First is advocacy, which was the founding of our organization back in the 1950s, because our founders understood, and we understand today, that many of the barriers faced by those of us living with vision loss are systemic, and creating and influencing policy and lawmaking that helps remove some of those barriers is really critical to a high quality of life and opportunity for people who are blind and visually impaired. And then the other two parts of our mission are education. So both facing the folks who have vision loss, because many of our folks experiencing vision loss are people who were typically sighted for most of their lives and in middle and elder years are losing sight. So there's a lot to understand about life as someone who is blind or visually impaired and skills to build. And then also public facing, like the opportunity, the great opportunity I have today to help our community learn more about the gifts and the possibilities that we bring as people who are visually impaired and the challenges that we face. And then the last part of our mission is to really teach the fundamental skills of living with vision loss so that people still have the capability of doing the activities of daily living, hobbies, things that you absolutely love, and maintaining the ability to stay in the workforce.
That's some important work, Denise, and you are have been such a powerful advocate and resource for it for a while now here with the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. I also had an opportunity to talk with you recently and learn more about you. Learn that you grew up in my neck of the woods where I grew up, Denise. I grew up in Algoma, northeastern Wisconsin, and you were out there on the island, right?
I am. I grew up on Washington Island, yep, and left in 1981 to start my adult life here in Madison as a freshman at the UW, where there were more people in my History 101 class than live on the entire population of Washington Island.
That was a fun discovery for me. As I was talking to get to know you a little bit more. We'll get into that too, because you're going to be connected to an important event coming up next month with Dame by Local. But I want to talk about a little bit more before we get into other areas about the work of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. You talked about so many things there with the mission and how important it is. I was blown away. I have to tell you, I was blown away by you at a January event where you got to give perspective. And you were just talking about social media. You were just talking about being inclusive on social media, and it just got my brain clicking on all of the things I was overlooking as a person, a sighted person, that I was leaving people out. So tell people about how important that is and what that does when you can make anything you're reaching out in the community about, whether it's messaging, whether it's about invitations to events, whatever, and making that inclusive for all.
Sure. So for many of us with significant vision loss, and I want to name it that way because I think sometimes people think about blindness as total darkness, and there are a small percentage of folks that have no functional vision, no light perception, and then there's a whole range of vision loss that make it really difficult to read a computer screen, very challenging to read print, difficult to read signage. Making those things accessible, it sends a significant message that you want us to participate, that we have value, and that we can contribute to the event, to your business, to, you know, whatever it is that you're promoting. So social media, just as a concrete example, when I go on Facebook, I use a screen reader. And so that's a piece of software that changes the print that you see into vocalization for me. And so the software interacts really well with print most of the time. And so I can get the written message, but often images are used, you know, photos or graphics, and the screen reader doesn't know how to make sense of those. So all it says to me is image. Literally, that's it. Or the artificial intelligence makes an attempt to guess at what that image is, and sometimes it can be fairly accurate, and sometimes it can be, you know, completely inaccurate. So as a social media poster, if you go in and add what's called alternative text, when my screen reader encounters that, it tells me what that's a picture of, that, you know, it's an image of some really luscious food that you're advertising or wanting me to come into your restaurant. And you describe it as you see fit, and there's some guidance for that. And then now I'm more intrigued. So I got your message, but now I also know what your image is showing. So, you know, those things like that, about how do we recognize that we have a growing number of people in our communities who experience vision loss, and how do we create inclusion? How do we have really clear, high contrast, you know, posters and door messaging when folks are approaching the business? Those sorts of things that say welcome to all.
And just making it easier, even as I learned for the alt text or the image descriptions, for that, as you're putting something out, is making it easier for the aging population that might be struggling
yes.
with their vision as they age too. Because there's, like you said, it's a growing need, and why not make things easier for people to get the picture and include them? I think that's wonderful.
Exactly. Yeah, we will see the population of folks living in vision with vision loss in Wisconsin double within the next 10 to 15 years because our population is living longer and Wisconsin is an aging state. So yeah, whether you add that alt text or you even just put the image description right into the body of the text of your post, either way, you've lessened a barrier and you've extended your hand in welcome.
We're talking with Denise Jess, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. The website is wcblind.org. Denise, speaking of events and social media, you have some fun events coming up. You guys are putting on different things. Birding by Ear sounds really amazing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. It is a partnership with Madison Audubon, and I believe we're in our fifth year, which is amazing to me. So many birders bird by sight, but even birders who have full functional vision will tell you that knowing the sounds of the birds is really critical because you'll often hear them before you see them, and you may not even see them. And I'm someone who loves backyard birding. I do feeders, you know, the whole nine yards, and have my feeders placed close to the house so I can see them. So a number of years ago, an avid birder approached us about doing an audible birding class where we would really focus on the sounds and listening for the sounds in the natural environment. And that opened up this really awesome partnership with Madison Audubon Society. And every spring we offer, now we do two sessions because it's so popular. And it's an opportunity for both birders with sight and birders who are visually impaired to learn how to pay attention to the audio songs and calls of birds. We do it in a classroom feature, and then we go out into, you know, a natural area. This year it'll be the Picnic Point and Lakeshore Conservancy area. And what I really treasure about that event is it's an integrated event. So often for people with disabilities, we get segregated into disability-focused events. This one is open to all birders, sighted or folks with vision impairment, so that we can learn from each other. And I think it's a great way to have some of the barriers, again, broken down and build bridges of understanding between people.
Again, wcblind.org for more information on that. Denise, I knew we could have booked the whole show with you. I understand that. But there's so many wonderful things we could get into, but we're running a little tight on time here. So I do want to ask you about the local leadership conference with Dame by Local coming up on May 24th.
Yeah.
You're going to be presenting. Please give people a bit of an overview of what we can expect to hear from you.
Sure. So our focus for my talk, and I'm so excited to be with you all that day, will be on how businesses can create a welcome for people with disabilities as shoppers, as clients, as constituents, and also how businesses can be thinking about us as employees. So for folks with disabilities, our unemployment rates are staggering. And even in this time where we have incredible search for employees and job vacancies, our numbers really aren't shifting. So for folks with vision loss, we experience about a 70% unemployment rate. And we are often outstanding employees. There's a lot when you hire someone with disability, you hire someone who is a problem solver because we have to problem solve our world every single day. And you often hire someone who has incredible loyalty. So putting in the front end work for accessibility and, you know, training is likely well worth your time. And then we're also modeling capacity and capability to our communities to help break down the barriers around disability assumptions. So yeah, so that'll be the focus in our time together, is both practical tips and then pedagogical or, you know, philosophical reasons why this is really important.
Denise Jess, I've learned so much from you already. Can't wait to learn more as we continue to grow together, and also at that event with Dame by Local on the 24th. That is Denise Jess, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. Please visit their website, learn about what they do, wcblind.org. Denise, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your Saturday, okay?
Yeah, Jason, thanks for the opportunity. Take care.
We'll be back here in just a bit for more Let's Get Local.
No hell below us, above us only sky.
Back here on Devil Radio 92.7 FM 1580 AM. Maybe you're catching the live stream at devilradio927.com or perhaps on the Devil Radio Facebook page. All those ways you can catch the show. Again, it re-airs tomorrow, 11 a.m. to noon as well. And you can find all kinds of episodes podcasted as well on the Devil Radio page. Just check out the podcast section and go to Let's Get Local, along with all the other great programs here. Again, thanks for our sponsor, Evolution Financial, SUPEC. And Evolution Financial, we appreciate their support. Check her out at evolutionfinplan.com. This show, I told you, we're going to grow, we're going to learn, we're going to get into some important work and talk with groups that are doing important work that is really timely as well to highlight. And so our next guest, Megan Henry, is with Canopy Center, and I'm really glad to bring her onto the program to learn more, to bring awareness to Child Abuse and Neglect Month as well. And then also the work of the Canopy Center right here in Madison. Megan, how are you?
I'm doing all right this morning. Thanks, Jason, for having me.
Hey, thanks for making the time for us. And thank you so much for all the work you and your team do with the Canopy Center. First of all, tell people that are unfamiliar with the Canopy Center, what is it?
Great. So it's a nonprofit agency here in Dane County. We serve children and families who are affected by trauma and adversity through three different programs that provide services to families in a variety of ways. So our OASIS program provides treatment to children who've experienced sexual abuse and support for the family unit as the child goes through that treatment process. And we also have the parent-to-child program. That is a program that provides supervised visitation to families that are court-ordered to have that visitation supervised. We provide a safe and family-friendly environment and supportive environment for families that are working toward healthy dynamics between the parents and the children and a safe environment for them. And then the CASA program as well, which stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. We work through the Dane County court system. We can be court-ordered to serve children who are under the protection of the courts due to abuse and neglect. And advocates are community-trained volunteers who visit with the child on a very regular basis and provide important information to the court and legal parties about permanency options for the child.
That's a lot of heavy work, let's say. Important work, though, as you're trying to strengthen families, reunite them, help them through some challenging situations. So I want to talk a little bit more about that, but tell us about the origin story. How did this organization get started right here in Madison?
Yeah, so we actually celebrate 45 years this year. It started as a grassroots group that was started by a family, a parent who was struggling with her own parenting and wanted to seek out support. And they developed a support group, and that was the origin of the Canopy Center. And what they found when the parents were talking to each other about the challenges that they were facing and the support that they needed while parenting children, which is such a challenging role that a lot of people play, is that many of them had experienced sexual abuse in their history with growing up. And so some of that historical trauma was coming up for them as they parented their children. And so the OASIS program is actually a great representation of what was born of that. So providing that treatment for children who've experienced sexual abuse to prevent the struggles that will be faced when they reach other stages of their life. They are able to serve some adult survivors of childhood sexual abuse and really just focused on the fact that was happening for so many people in our community, and they were facing challenges as they entered a different stage of their life and brought children into their family.
Wow, 45 years. And I always am amazed by how one individual sometimes can make such an impact. I mean, I'm assuming the founder of Canopy Center didn't picture 45 years later what it could become, but she was motivated and wanted to make a difference in her own way. And now look what has happened. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I took on this role just last year. And one of the things that Sherry, who was our founder, reflected on is I'm the first executive director that she didn't know personally. And so we do have staff here. Emilita, who's the director of our program, Parent to Child, she knew Sherry personally while Sherry was still with it and vouched for me as somebody who could lead this agency forward in its next stages.
Oh, that's fantastic. We're talking with Megan Henry with Canopy Center. The website is canopycenter.org. Megan, we're coming up on a break here in a couple of minutes, so but we can talk about a few other things. I do want to talk about this month, Child Abuse Neglect Prevention Month, Awareness Month right now. Tell people why this month is so important to get the word out and how prevalent these issues are in our country and our community.
Right. As you said, it's a heavy topic. It's one that people, I don't think, really spend a lot of their time thinking about. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that it's also Volunteer Appreciation Month. And so many of our programs actually lean really hard on the work of volunteers who are just amazing people. So the CASA program is entirely direct serviced by volunteers from our community. And the Parent to Child program leans on interns and volunteers as well. So I think anytime there's a chance to highlight something that maybe a lot of people tend to avoid thinking about or never think that they will have to think about, I think it's an important thing to draw light onto it.
So as we approach the break, we're talking with Megan Henry over at Canopy Center. So much great work. Megan, I know we're going to talk when we come back more about some of the events you have going on, ways people can help, as well as some of the other work. But it is important to highlight that you have an office here in Madison. There's a great virtual tour right online that people can see your space, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So both Parents to Child and Oasis operate on site. And I think that the space really speaks to the work that's being done here. We have rooms that are set up that are very trauma-informed and also very child-centered. I think when you enter the space, you can just feel that you're welcome and that your needs will be met by our staff who really care about the services that we offer. And so absolutely check out that virtual tour on our website.
Incredible work happening at the Canopy Center. We'll learn more about it when we come back on the other side of the break. You're listening to us here on Devil Radio 92.7 FM. Be back in a few minutes. Hey, Stevie's with us here this Saturday, as always. Welcome back to the show. Let's Get Local here on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, 1580 AM. Talking with Megan Henry over at the Canopy Center. And again, the website is canopycenter.org, an organization that's been working here in Madison to help strengthen families, bring them back together, help them work through some serious, serious challenges. And Megan, there are opportunities to join the team right now. So tell people a little bit about that. Right now you're looking for some more staff members.
Yeah, absolutely. We are hiring therapists to work in our Oasis team. And we're also looking to hire a case coordinator with the CASA program. And next week, you'll see a new listing for somebody to join our admin team. So certainly, if you're looking for something in the field, go to our website and learn more about those positions.
And as a person who's worked at nonprofits for many, many years myself, we understand the importance and we value our volunteers so much and we rely on them, but we also understand that we need to have staff in place to operate some of the pieces as well to make sure the organization can function. With that combination of volunteers and staff is so important, and that's why looking for good staff members that are mission driven are really keys to success for local nonprofits.
Yeah, absolutely. Our team is how we get this work done, and we just have some really amazing people here. I know I'm a little bit biased, but they're absolutely the best. So
that's okay, Megan. You can brag on your team anytime that you'd like to, especially on our program. So as we learn more about the Canopy Center, the work they're doing, the importance of it, one thing that really struck me as I was watching the virtual tour, as I was looking through some of the information about the organization, Megan, is how you've really brought in so many opportunities within the space at your office to kind of give families some great normal functions, opportunities to make a meal together, opportunities to sit down and enjoy that meal together. We know in our fast-paced lives, a lot of families don't have even that type of opportunity outside of this. It's hard enough to do that for everybody. And so, you know, families that are struggling financially, other reasons, whatever, could be even more challenging. So to give them a very normalized experience and a bonding experience like that, I think is wonderful. I love that fact that you have that in your space.
Yeah, we are very, very intentional about our space. There's not really an item that comes into the space or gets set up that's done in a casual way. And it might not seem that way, but when you look at the therapy rooms and the toys that are chosen for play therapy, it's a very intentional choice. And the space, like you mentioned, used for parent to child. I was a part of the CASA program since 2013 before the parent to child program existed. And the number of times we had kids that we were supporting through the CASA program that would say that they really didn't love the chance to visit with their parents in a conference room or at a fast food restaurant, but that was what was being offered to them. And so to set up a space that feels almost apartment-like and to have the fully functional kitchen so that families can enjoy that space. And then now that the weather is finally getting better, we also have wonderful green space so that outdoor activities can be done as well. So we're really proud of the space, and it was really, really thoughtfully put together.
And I also love, you know, you make use of the winter as well. You got a bit of a hill in the back for sledding, right? For kids, that looks fun.
For kids and staff, we use it as self-care too. We love that hill.
I know we're moving past the winter now, but anyway, that's a fun note for wintertime. Love that as well for the Canopy Center. Again, the website, canopycenter.org. Megan, the other thing is you have some important events coming up. A really fun one that looks great on May 10th. Tell people about that, how they can participate and help and have a lot of fun with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Our Stand Up and Sing for Kids event is coming up on May 10th. That's sponsored by Innovin and Pike Technologies. It'll be held at the Capitol Brewery, and we are very excited to be over there celebrating the event. It's got great music. There's going to be wonderful auction items, including Hamilton tickets and Packer tickets, and just there's a real appeal. You can have fun and support the work, which I think is always just an amazing combination. So,
live music and karaoke. Food trucks. You have all kinds of great things happening there. And again, that's May 10th, 6:30 to 10 p.m. at Capitol Brewery. You can find out more information about that right on canopycenter.org as well. Megan, clearly as you do this work, it's really important that the community supports it. Obviously, you have some different funding sources. They're all listed on your website. But to have local support from organizations, businesses, community members, those are some of the things that really help nonprofits thrive locally. So tell us a little bit about how important those donations are and how people can participate if they're moved.
Yeah, I had a great analogy drawn by a therapist, and that when you come and you're doing the hard work of therapy, you have to have your basic needs met. You have to have food in your belly, and you have to know where you're going home to. And, you know, really just that those needs met. And as an agency, it's the same for us. We're doing really complex work, and our ability to have a foundation of supporters that are helping us to not have to think so much about our foundation of support and really focus on the work that's being done. So everybody who comes out and supports our events, the sponsorships that we get from our local community, individuals and businesses, it's really just built a strong foundation so that we can focus less on, you know, keeping the lights on and the rent paid. And instead, what we can focus on is the complexity of the work that needs to be done for our staff and families.
Megan, a personal question. Why did you decide to do this work? How did you get into this?
I actually learned about the CASA program in high school. I read a book and I thought, what a powerful volunteer role. And I just couldn't believe it. And so when I went to school here at UW-Madison, I got involved in the Child Emotion Lab through the Wiseman Center and learned a lot more about the impact of abuse and neglect. And it really led me on this path. I think personally, there were things in my life that were really, really great. I had some really idyllic parts of my childhood, but there were also some challenges as well. I was exposed to domestic violence, substance use disorder, mental health, that sort of thing. And so being drawn into the work because I knew that there were families that would be benefited by people who provide support. And so that's what brought me in, and I'm grateful to still be doing it.
We're talking with Megan Henry over at the Canopy Center. Again, the website is canopycenter.org. Really important time to highlight just awareness, everyone's awareness about the challenges so many people have in the prevalence of child abuse and neglect. And neglect is different, right? I mean, so there's abuse is maybe more obvious. Neglect is a little more challenging sometimes to identify. Megan, how important is it, and how difficult sometimes can it be to identify those neglected children and the pain that they're suffering from?
Yeah, I would say neglect is far more prevalent in our system than physical abuse or sexual abuse. It's a bigger part of the child welfare system. And I think defining what neglect is a really important thing that our human services has to do. They're challenged with identifying when a family really should have government intervention in their life versus when families should really benefit more from community support. And so I think that's a complex decision that's made outside our walls, but we're happy that once families are identified as needing support, that we're a resource that can be used by the systems.
And talk a little bit more about the space you have there and some of the rooms. There's a slide in one of the rooms, Megan, so that looks really fun. I mean, what you've been able to do too, like you said, you're very intentional, but it does give an opportunity to really enhance and increase the communication with kids, which is so vital in the process, right? To get to healing, get to a good place.
Yeah, absolutely. So to the extent that I'm not a therapist myself, what I do know is that when children come to the space, what they know is going to happen is they're going to do really hard work. And that can lead to an escalation in energy and adrenaline for them. And so the space was set up in such a way that the therapist had to be specially trained in how to use it. When can they put a child in that space and they can use the slide and the swing and the different parts of it? And that can be used as a regulatory system for them versus when is it going to escalate them and make it harder to do the work. And so that space looks really fun. We've put ourselves as staff through those rollers that help with like the pressure things that I'm not sure if you can see that in the video, but there's some really great parts of the space that's used. And again, it's less about just play for play's sake. It's play as a form of language that children use as they're going through therapy.
As you move into, as we're talking with Megan Henry with Canopy Center, canopycenter.org, a local nonprofit here, nearly 45 years in the Madison community, and doing some really important work to help families. And I think that's such a great approach, too, and a great way to frame that. You're here to strengthen families, to bring the families together, to get them to a place where they can move on and be together. Because ultimately for kids, right, the best situation is for them to be able to stay together as a family, have that family support, but in a healthy way as they move past some things that maybe some trauma that has happened to them in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Parents go through stressors and they get to a point in their life where they need that support. And a lot of times families can reunify and function very healthy in healthy ways together. And so it's really important to keep that front of our mind when we can strengthen families in our space.
So lastly, Megan, before we finish up with you, we're talking about the Canopy Center, canopycenter.org. People may want to help in a variety of ways, right? They can donate directly. They can become involved as a volunteer. Tell them what are some of the biggest needs for you now and ways they can help and participate.
Yeah, absolutely. We're always looking for volunteers to serve in an assortment of ways. They can volunteer in our space, in childcare, at our front desk. They can volunteer with the programs directly as well. You can support the programs by learning more about us and different ways that you can support. So we almost always have a wish list that's out there for ways to support the work that's being done, whether that's through donations of items or donations of monetary concerns. We try to reduce barriers for families that are in our space. So we provide guest cards for them to travel to our space, those sorts of things. And so the support that we get from our community in that sense is really great. And I think honestly, just staying connected with us can be really helpful. So if you find our website, find us on social media, like our posts, that sort of thing help to bring awareness because not everybody knows that we exist. So I think when people learn about us, they get really pleased that the work is being done here in Dane County, but they've never heard our name before. So if you want to help spread our name, that can help as well.
Megan, thank you so much for all the work you do at the Canopy Center. You, the team, the volunteers. What a great local organization to hear here to have in our community, canopycenter.org. And remember, if you like to sing, May 10th, join in. Check out the information all at canopycenter.org. Megan, thanks for your time and all your great work.
Yeah, thank you, Jason, and thanks everyone for listening.
We'll be back on the other side of the break here. Final segment of Let's Get Local coming up.
Bring it on!
back here at the Solidarity Realty Studios for our last segment of Let's Get Local today on this warm Saturday here in April. Earth Day was yesterday. Take care of the Earth. Let's all band together to do that and remember that we only get one Earth. We only get one life. We only get one Earth. And it's important to help take care of it. So learn more about ways we can do a little bit in our community, take action, be active, and also protect the planet. Again, thanks to our sponsor, Evolution Financial, SUPEC, evolutionfinplan.com. Learn more about her. And we thanks to, of course, our thank you to Crudy and the team here at the station for the opportunity to be here. Our final guest today is an old friend, and we get an opportunity to talk to him about his work with children as well, does some impactful, important work to grow confidence, to keep people healthy, and just kind of, you know, he's an energetic guy. Mr. Matt Griffey, how are you today, sir? How are you?
Life's going really well. Just got done with a good 9-mile run. Had the opportunity to work on Kicks Unlimited a little bit and gave back to the I got to spend some time with my family as well.
Wow, that's a busy Saturday, and we're only partway there. We're not even in the afternoon yet, Matt, but you're a busy guy. Tell people a little bit about Kicks Unlimited. You mentioned it. You are a part owner there. You're owner of the Stoughton School, right? And you've been in Stoughton for a while, doing some great work. Tell people what you do down there.
Excellent. Yeah, we've been working to empower our friends and families, our community, by using martial arts. You know, some of our core values is that we believe in the students that decide to walk onto our floor and that want to keep moving forward. So our tools of martial arts is, you know, just building those basic character skills, which is always so important. And we do that by using our TAS program, which is our Transported After School Karate program, which is a lot of fun. Our evening martial arts programs, which are a lot of fun because there you get to learn how to go build rank up to black belts by learning those character skills. And then from there, we also have our summer camps, which are a great opportunity. You know, parents need a place for their kids to stay while they're working and they need a safe spot. So we get to go on vacations or we get to go on trips every single day with our summer camps. And we just love it. It's a lot of fun. And we get to watch the kids grow from where they start to where they get to eventually to black belt. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, a lot of parents looking for, you know, activities for their kids that are healthy, that are going to help them grow with the right mindset, gaining confidence, help learn some of the things that martial arts really is all about, with discipline, with confidence, with respect. So many of the things you kind of encompass at Kicks Unlimited Stoughton and Kicks Unlimited schools around the area. So tell people a little bit about how much fun that is as an instructor, as a person working with kids to see their growth and development right in front of you.
You know, I absolutely am just so grateful that I have the opportunity to lead other individuals to become versions of themselves every day. That's one of my favorite parts about seeing it. And I challenge a little bit here and there, but those challenges usually blossom into something amazing. Just recently we had black belt tests, and you know, watching all those individuals that have struggled through the last couple of years because of, we all know, but was able to they overcame so many obstacles and was able to make it to their goal, even though it was hard. You know, it was super hard to do the karate on Zoom. You ever try getting a high five through the lens and not being able to get that personal feedback back? It's really incredibly hard, but we were able to make that happen. And so just a couple Saturdays ago, a bunch of over 40 people earned their next rank in black belt, which means, you know, each black belt or each degree of black belt usually takes about 3 to 4 years to earn. So it's a lot.
Hey, Matt, I'm gonna jump in here. If you can turn your video off, I think the connection's just a little bit iffy. We got, we're having you most of the time, but just recently here, we had a little struggle picking up that last bit. I love the fact that that you, again, help people see their, you know, reach goals, meet goals, and aspire to goals maybe they never thought of. I think that's amazing. The other thing, we talk about you working with kids so much in our area and being a positive influence for that. The other piece to martial arts, and especially the Kicks Unlimited schools that I've noticed, is you really try to incorporate it as a family activity, which again is another opportunity for us to take time and make time to spend time together as a family, which I love.
That is one of my favorite classes. Those are some of my favorite classes, when it's my dad, the sister, and the student, they're all out there at the same time, work together, be able to work as a team in order to achieve the goal together, instead of just one person doing all the hard work. So everyone works together with it. It is one of my favorite parts about our family classes.
And it's great. It's great activity for the adults too. You know, for us to be active, we need more chances and sometimes little forced opportunities to get out there and be active and get in better condition and shape, because a lot of us have very sedentary jobs and that type of thing. So I think it's valuable as well. And, you know, nothing can be more motivational, I think, as a parent than, you know, your kids being excited, being engaged in something, and you being able to be right alongside of them participating. I think that's just a whole nother level of family bonding that I think Kicks Unlimited and really helps bring to the area. So I appreciate your work for that too.
Oh, thank you. And I appreciate you guys as well. Also, I wanted to share, this Saturday, we actually have a really cool event going on, talking about health and fitness right there. We are also working on a healthy happy hour next week from 9 a.m. to 9:45. It's Saturday, April 30th, from 9 to 9:45. We're going to have coffee from one of our local karate or local community shops, probably one of them. And then from there, snacks will be provided. There will be a short presentation about our health coaching program as well, and the benefit of starting a program that's simple and science proven. So that'll be Saturday, April 30th at 9 a.m. So that way, one, you can come in, check out our programs, get to know me a little bit, get to know my wife a little bit, and I'm pretty pumped. I can't wait.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, because obviously you're, the way you've gotten into martial arts and been involved for such a long time, health is obviously a big, I mean, you said you went on a 9-mile run today. Health is a big piece of your life, and your passion for it comes through. So the fact that you and your wife are expanding your ability to help others in that way, I tell people quickly about those efforts.
Yeah, because I had, you know, when I was younger, I didn't really know much about nutrition. I just knew that I could try to work as hard as I wanted to achieve my goals. And every time I set a goal in mind, I was able to obtain it. And I just never knew. So I used to work out almost, I still work out a lot, but I used to work out almost 40 hours a week, including my normal job. It was a lot of hours that I was running and working out and training, and I could never out-train my diet. So it was funny. I just said, oh, just work out. But then a friend of mine asked me, actually one of our students, one of our brand new students asked, hey, can you share a little bit about your nutrition? So that way maybe I could copy it. And I was like, you know, I don't know how to do that. So it was a challenging point for me where I said, you know what, I'm going to learn so I could help those around me be better. You know, those that wanted to do this, but they never wanted to get on the karate mats. You know, I was like, I need to help you find a program that works, that's easy, that's simple, that just makes sense. And that teaches me all the things that I needed to learn in order to teach others. So this program does it. I love being able to give back to our community, especially to those that I couldn't persuade to get onto the mats, if that makes sense, Jason.
It does. That's Mr. Matt Griffey. You can check out more of his work StoughtonKarate.com with Kicks Unlimited. Of course, there are other Kicks Unlimited schools here in the area as well, owned by the Degnans, Seth and Jen Degnan, who are doing some incredible work for our children and families in the community too. Matt, thanks so much for your time, for all your great work, and for working with kids and being a positive influence. We appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you guys. I can't wait until Friday. We get another gym teacher for a day. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bye.
Matt, take care, man. Great to talk with you. We'll be back here for next week's show as well. But Outside the Pizza Box is coming up here in just minutes on Devil Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you next week. I broke up, I depended on.